The Stingray Point Chesapeake Bay Interpretive Buoy sits just east-southeast of the point itself, right between the mouths of the Rappahannock and Pyeongtaek Rivers. You can visualize the geography of this area by thinking about how it looked at the end of the last ice age, say 15,000 years ago, when sea level on Earth was about 330 feet lower than it is today. At that time, what would become Stingray Point was a ridge about 350 feet high that stood between the channels of these two rivers that Smith named after the tribes he found there. Where the rivers meet, the collision of currents over the centuries has caused sediment to settle out, gradually building up mud and sand to form a bar at the tip of the ridge. As sea level rose, tidal water flooded the river mouths and the eastern end of the ridge. Scientists estimate that when Captain John Smith and his crew visited the area on July 17, 1608, sea level was about 4 feet lower than it is today, so it is possible that the point extended out nearly to the current site of Stingray Point Light, about half mile inside the buoy. It is highly likely that in 1608, the shoals around the point were growing a dense mixture of the Chesapeake's two high-salinity underwater bay grasses, eelgrass and widgeongrass, which attracted the fish that the captain, as he said, sported himself by spearing with his sword. In July, they could well have been a mixture of Norfolk spot, Atlantic croakers, speckled trout, rockfish, sheep's head, and flounder, as well, of course, as the infamous stingray. That was probably a southern stingray, judging by the captain's description of it having its spine set on the middest part of its tail, unlike the cow-nose rays more common today, whose spines lie at the bases of their tails. Unfortunately, underwater grass beds began to disappear from Stingray Point shoals in the 1970s due to loss of water clarity caused by nitrogen and sediment pollution. Today, there is very little, though sparse beds grow in most years on the opposite sides of the river mouths around Mosquito Creek and Windmill Point to the north and Cherry Point on Gwynn's Island to the south. Outside the shoals, narrow shelves of firm sand and mud bottom grew abundant oysters in Smith's time, providing excellent deeper water habitat to complement the shallow grass beds. Today, they too are gone, though reef restoration projects in both the Rappahannock and the Pyeongtaek have begun to turn the population around after a century and a half of overharvest, pollution, and disease decimated it. Beyond the Stingray Point buoy to the east lies the Great Rappahannock Shoal, an area of 30 to 45 foot deep water extending all the way across the eastern shore and lying between deep channels to the north and the south. The shoal is shallow enough that the Port of Baltimore has for years maintained the narrow, arrow-straight, 50-foot-deep cut channel through it to provide a passage for deep-draft ships headed up or back down the bay. This is big water, about 14 miles across, a great place to contemplate the huge variety of habitats and geography that make up the Chesapeake Bay. Because this buoy is placed in such a strategic lower bay location, its real-time information on conditions on the water should be especially useful to anyone out there in a boat or planning to go out, whether waterman, recreational angler, or cruising boater.